You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast where we talk about all of Major League Baseball, and I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. Today, we're going to be talking about things that make us happy because they're dumb. Take a quick peek at Seattle and a look at the new face that's in charge in Houston. This show is available at the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available on all the platforms where you get your podcasts. You can check us out directly on the website, Locked On MLB, and you can also get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB. And please, please keep your hands on the wheel. I don't want any accidents while listening to this show. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On MLB and vote on the I'm Locked On MLB tournament, which is down to the final between Cody Bellinger and Yoan Moncada. It looks like Moncada's in the lead. I don't understand how that's possible. And follow us on Instagram as well. Lots of great stuff going on there. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. I think we're all hitting refresh on Twitter a lot these days, trying to see what the heck is going to happen with Mookie Betts. Is he going to be traded? In all probability, he's going to be dealt probably to the Los Angeles Dodgers, maybe the San Diego Padres. I don't know. Neither do you. One of those teams are probably going to land him. And I think it's stupid. I think it's stupider than stupid. I think the Red Sox should just sign him to a long-term deal. But what do I know? What do I know? There's going to be a lot of people who are going to pretend that they're economists and say, well, this is actually good for this. Shut up. He's an MVP caliber player, and the Red Sox are not going to sign him to a long-term deal because of reasons. Reasons. Reasons that I don't know, and neither do you. Hey, let's talk about a couple of things here. First of all, the Academy Awards are coming up. The Super Bowl just happened. A lot of people will post stuff about the Super Bowl over the last day or so saying, I hate the Super Bowl. I don't care about the Super Bowl. I don't even know who's playing. And there's a certain snotty attitude about that. I don't care about the Super Bowl. Well, congratulations. Now, the Oscars are coming up. I happen to be a big Academy Awards fan. I think the Oscars are way too early. They used to be in April, and then they used to be in early March. Now they're in early February. They used to give me another month to catch everything. I have only one more Best Picture nominee to watch. But still, I mean, I want to be able to fill out the acting ones as well. I happen to be a big Oscar fan. Now, I can hear some of you listen to this rolling your eyes. And I'm going to catch all the stuff on Twitter saying, like, the Oscars are stupid. They're meaningless. Why does anyone watch them? It's so boring. This, that, and the other thing. And yet, I get into it every year. I enjoy it. I enjoy the scavenger hunt of watching the movies. I enjoy the arguments over this deserves this, that deserves that. I like all that. I find it fun. But a lot of people are going to say, it's really stupid. And a lot of people who thought the Super Bowl was really stupid and thought the Oscars are really stupid are going to get really excited when Comic-Con shows up. And some people who think Comic-Con is stupid are going to get really excited when it turns to March Madness and the Final Four. And a lot of you are listening to me right now are going to get really excited about when spring training begins and when the season starts. And some other people you know are going to be on Twitter really excited about, oh my God, this is happening with Kate Middleton and Prince William and all this other stuff. And there'll always be people who say, why do you follow? It's so stupid. I don't even care. If you find yourself on Twitter typing something about something you don't like and you don't care about, and you start typing, I don't even care about that. I don't even know what's happening. What is it you're trying to say? Are you trying to say that because you don't follow this thing that makes you better and that liking this thing makes you shallow? Everyone has something that they follow. That is, when you take two steps back and start thinking about intellectually, it's kind of dumb. Baseball is that way for me. I'm obviously a pretty big baseball fan. And yet, I get that some people don't care about baseball. And when I see people write, like during the World Series, I don't even like baseball. Why does anyone even watch it? It's really dumb. I said, well, I like it. And I guarantee you that person really likes something. Whether it's the Video Music Awards, or whether it's Game of Thrones, or whether it was Breaking Bad, or whether it was fashion, or whether it was music, or whether it was art, or whether it was The Masked Singer, or whether it was the royal family. You can like more than one. I like the Oscars. In all honesty, I didn't really care about the Super Bowl. I didn't watch a lot. I just caught the end of it. I didn't really care. But I'm not going to type, I don't care about the Super Bowl. I don't care about the Grammys. I don't. I couldn't possibly care less about the Grammys. But do you know what? Some people do. And for some people, that's their thing that they really enjoy. And so, if you ever find yourself typing, why does anyone like that? That's dumb. It's so stupid. Look in the mirror and ask, what's that thing for you? When I see people write that, you know, baseball's stupid, yeah, I feel a little like, oh, well then, why even, just don't watch it. There's a lot of things out there to do. I do not care at all about, what is it, the Great British Baking Bake Off show. I don't. I don't care about it at all. Nor do I care about The Masked Singer or America's Got Talent or any of those shows. I really don't. But I know some people do. And they get super into it. I wouldn't watch The Bachelor if I was strapped in like Malcolm McDowell in A Clockwork Orange facing it. But I'm never going to go on Twitter and say, who watches this? This is really dumb. And then two tweets later say like, oh man, do you think the Phillies rotation is going to come together? Will Jake Arrieta have a bounce back season? That's The Masked Singer. That's the royal family. That's the Oscars. Don't be that person. If you don't like something, it doesn't make you deep. Nobody is saying, I spend every amount of my day at the soup kitchen and digging ditches that will create wells for poor families, and then I just spend the rest of my day with rescue dogs and adopting refugees. No one lives a life like that. Everyone has something that they're into. Mine happens to be baseball and the Oscars. And that doesn't make me deep. Believe me, I know a lot of people will attest that I'm not a deep person. But leave it at that. If you don't like something, it's because you don't like it. It's the simple twist of a sentence. Who cares about this? I don't care about this. It's the second one that's honest. I don't care about this. Congratulations, some people do. Who cares about this? Some people do. Let them. It's called having fun. And I don't know if you're looking in this world we're living in right now. There's a lot of things that are not fun. And that's not a political statement. That's a factual statement. So let people have their fun. Don't be the person saying, why are you having fun? Because I am. Well, I don't like it. Well, you don't have to like something else. I just want to get on that and say that because I saw a lot of people tweeting, who cares about the Super Bowl? And they're going to be coming after the Oscars. And soon they'll be coming after baseball. Think about it. Don't be that person. All right. I know someone's going to be against that rant I just had. And do you know what? That's a them problem. And someone's going to say that I sounded drunk or that I say I too many times. Again, I can't please everybody. But let's talk about a couple of things out there. First of all, the Houston Astros have a new general manager, James Click is taking over as Jim Crane has brought him on board to be the new, I guess this is the vice president of baseball operations. Is that what the new job is? Is he the new general manager? Either way, he's the 13th general manager in franchise history. He had a similar role with the Tampa Bay Rays. and is young. He's younger than me, and that's scary when the people running the front office are younger than me, because that's when I realize that at this point in my life, the only thing I'm young for is a heart attack or becoming a Supreme Court justice. I don't like that. I don't like that I was born before general managers. But that's the case, and this is how time works. And he seems to be a long-term hire for the Houston Astros. He is not a stopgap. The Astros are going to have to do some building. Now, they have some talent still in their farm system, but they've traded away some excellent talent when they brought Zach Greinke on board for the stretch run last year. Now, are they going to try to build a new team? I don't know. Are they going to try to purge some of the players who were part of the World Series teams and try to build a new club? Or everyone's just going to hold their nose and pretend that the players who were involved in the scandal didn't do anything? I don't know, and neither do you. But when you have someone who is a modern-day thinker, worked in one of the more successful front offices, when you think about that the Tampa Bay Rays work with a shoestring budget and yet consistently put a quality product on the field, especially the last couple of years that they really had put fine teams on there without a giant payroll, you would think that joining a team like the Astros, a franchise that does have a lot of money, would be a smart move, that you could have that person running it, and he has none of the stink of the 2017 scandal on him. So he seems like he's going to be a long-term fixture in the front office going into this next century, as opposed to Dusty Baker, who is, I love Dusty, and I wish him all the best and everything like that. He's clearly there as a stopgap. Dusty is clearly there to be the manager for this season to weather this storm. And when things settle, Click will probably come in and bring in his own person to be the new manager of the team as the franchise tries to turn the page, as the Astros are undoubtedly going to be the least popular team in baseball that we've seen in a long, long time. So it's an interesting hire. It is not a stopgap. It is a move for the future and a move for a potential new direction of the team and a new face to have that direction of the team. So good for Click, good for the Astros, but it's still going to stink this year for them. An interesting thing for one of the teams that will be vying for the American League West and is in real critical need of putting a quality product on the field for this upcoming decade, and that's the Seattle Mariners. The Seattle Mariners, who did not play a postseason game at all in the 2010s, and in fact have the longest postseason drought of any team. They haven't made the playoffs since 2001. And that's, I have to remind myself, that was longer than I think it is. That's 19 years. And using the rule of seven, if you're a 26-year-old kid from the Pacific Northwest, anyone under than 26, you have no memory of even a wild card game in Seattle, despite having tremendous talent come through the Pacific Northwest. And they do not quite appear to be ready to contend for this year. And actually, one more piece of, a kick to the shins for the Seattle Mariners is the fact that with the Washington Nationals winning the pennant and ultimately the World Series, that means Seattle is the only franchise to have never have won a pennant. They are the only team to have never had a single World Series appearance. And that's astonishing when you think about the Hall of Fame talent that has gone through and played the majority of their prime in Seattle, that not once, heck, Tampa Bay, Colorado, they've seen at least one. And here we are, Seattle, still at nothing. So they've got to do something. It is mission critical. You can't go two straight decades without even making the postseason once. So when you have a team that's in mid-rebuild, what do? You take one of your good pieces and you lock them up. And that's exactly what the Mariners did. It is a tremendous amount of turnover on the team. But Marco Gonzalez, who was brought over in the other year from St. Louis Cardinals in a deal, signed an extension through the 2024 season. And the Seattle Mariners now have a 27-year-old solid pitcher who has threw 200-some-odd innings, had an ERA under 4, won a bunch of games. I don't really look at the win-loss record that much, but he pitched well enough to win a bunch of games. He's left-handed, and all of a sudden, the Mariners have a starting rotation where at least one spot they can count on. Felix Hernandez is at the end of his career, and he signed with the Atlanta Braves. So for the first time in a decade and a half, you're not going to have Felix Hernandez in there. And Felix hasn't been King Felix for a couple of years anyway. They brought in Kikuchi, a 28-year-old pitcher from Japan, but he struggled last year. Kendall Graveman, who was a top prospect when the A's made the swap, sending Josh Donaldson to the Toronto Blue Jays, but he's had Tommy John surgery. Justice Sheffield, remember him? He was one of the top prospects of the Yankee organization, and he was sent packing to the Mariners a few years ago. And Justin Dunn is a, you know, a solid prospect. You have the potential of a decent rotation there. If Kikuchi pitches better, Sheffield and Dunn meet their potential, and Graveman has a bounce-back year. Look, that's a lot of ifs. But every single time you see a surprise team win a division title, make the playoffs when you're not expected, it's because you have a bunch of players who bounce back who you're not expecting. And Gonzalez is not a bounce back. You have a number one starter. And behind him, you have a bunch of question marks where you could have good or you could have bad. Now, you're also banking on some solid teams having big old slumps. But remember when the Nationals won the division in 2012, and they did so in a year that was supposed to be a rebuilding year. Whenever you have a team that does something like that, it's because a lot of the pieces clicked before, ahead of time, before anyone expected things to go their way. That happened with Atlanta a couple of years ago. It happens from time to time. It happened with the A's in 2012 as well. It happened with the Red Sox with some of the veterans who bounced this way and that in 2013. The Mariners have to do something. They have to go into a decade and try to at least make the playoffs. And by locking up the one sure thing in their rotation, it allows you to look at the other four possible bounce back candidates to say, all right, follow Gonzalez's lead. It's a new decade. The Astros have new leadership, and the Mariners are keeping their ace. And we're going to see how this unfolds. And whatever it is, it's going to be the thing that you and I enjoy, even if someone else thinks it's dumb. So go to the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram at LockedOnMLB. I'm at Sully Baseball at Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. This has been the Locked On MLB Podcast for the fourth day of February 2020. Keep hitting refresh on Twitter to see if Mookie Betts got traded. If he got traded before you saw this or listened to this podcast, guess what? It'll be the topic for the next one. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.